Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Ah, yes, a barefoot boy with cheeks of tan.
Alert, alert! A moving object attached to line.
He's got a big one.
Well, pull it in, you idiot. Don't just stand there.
Weight of the object exceeds the strength of the line. Restraint should be exercised until there is less resistance.
Ah, give me that pole. Let an expert show you how this should be done.
Caution and patience is advised. Caution and patience.
Quiet, you mumbling mass of metal. I'll handle this.
He's right, Dr. Smith. If you're not careful, the fish will get away.
Nonsense. Our finny friend is practically in the frying pan now.
A release of line tension is advised.
Give him some slack, Dr. Smith. Ease off gradually.
I know what I'm doing. Give up, you brute. You've met your match.
Object fish has eluded capture.
He got away, sir.
Not even the greatest expert could have landed that monster. He must have weighed 100 pounds.
All your fish got away.
Are you suggesting that my failure is due to a lack of ability?
Well, you're the only one who didn't catch anything.
As you have said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Indeed. Rather than bear any further insults, I shall return to the Jupiter II. Good day to you both.
Oh, we didn't mean anything, Doctor. Honest, we didn't.
Ha! He did not get away. I released him.
We might as well go, too.
Dr. Smith suffers the injury of embarrassment. He will recover.
I guess you're right. What's wrong? You sure are acting funny.
Warning! Immediate danger.
What kind of danger?
My sensors will not accept the possibility of its existence.
Charlie! Gave me a scare.
Caution, caution. There is danger.
No, there isn't. This machine hasn't been used in years and years.
It is more than a machine. It is a robotoid.
You mean it was a robotoid?
Touch nothing. Repeat. Touch nothing.
I just want to put this loose retrostat wire back. I didn't think it would work, but it was worth a try.
In this instance, failure may be considered success.
Thanks a lot.
Shall we go?
We might as well.
You act this time with wisdom.
Robots and robotoids, artificial intelligence, and human beings. Zachary Smith, a robot, and Will Robinson. It can only be another edition of Resonance Rewind.
Thank you. lovely fish. Well, that's marvelous. I tell you what, we'll have space salad, and I'll dig into the last of our flour and make us some hot biscuits.
Is Dad around?
No, dear, not at the moment. Why, what's the matter? Oh, now, don't tell me it's because Dr. Smith didn't catch any fish again. I saw his face when he came back.
That's not it. I found something on the way back.
Hmm? Oh, look, here's your dad. Maybe he can help you.
Oh, what is it, Will?
I found a robot not far from where we were fishing. It's all rusted and in these vines.
Well, maybe we'd better go investigate. We'll take our own robot along and check it out.
It is not necessary that I be present. I prefer to remain here. The fish must be cleaned for dinner.
All right, then. We won't bring the robot. We won't be long.
Well, the biscuits will be ready in 30 minutes.
Oh, well, then I'll be back in 25.
Over there.
Oh. It's in pretty bad shape, Will. Oh, what a mess inside. Wires corroded, power units destroyed.
Gee, I thought it could be repaired.
What for? We have a robot of our own.
Yeah, but if we could make this one operative, we could find out where it came from and who left it here.
Well, by now, its memory banks are probably useless. As Smith would say, a mass of metal fit for naught. Hey, let's get back. I think I can smell those biscuits from here.
Dad, would you mind if I worked on him?
All right. Provided you do all your regular chores first.
From now on, I'll do everything twice as fast.
And never mind the twice as fast. Just get them right, huh?
Okay.
All right.
I'll have you working good as new in no time.
1966. February 1966 was when, of course, War of the Robots first aired in the United States of America, directed by Sobey Martin, written, of course, by Barney Slater, and in direct, I suppose, Irwin Allen. It is very much part of that whole Irwin Allen production. I still want to actually know what the space salad actually is, but that's a different line entirely. We welcome back to Residence Rewind, Ace, graduate now from the University of Lincoln Film and Television Studies program, of course, Jared Palmer. How are you, Jared? And congratulations once again.
Hi, Alex. I'm doing very well. I'm still recovering from jet lag and tireless nights, but I am doing well.
You clearly need to have a nice, friendly robot to hand, and certainly as a guesting on this particular episode, we have our very own Lost in Space robot, the good robot, as opposed to the evil Robbie the Robot scenario that's actually there. Let's turn to Jessica Burtis in North Carolina. Jessica, obviously we've covered Lost in Space a number of times on Resonance Rewind, including the two-parter a year or so ago, The Keeper. We followed the thing through, the adventures of the Robinson family, Will Robinson, of course. No sign of Penny Robinson in this particular episode until the very end, because, of course, they were having to shoot two episodes back-to-back, and indeed the subsequent episode with respect to the Mirror featured more of Penny Robinson as opposed to Will Robinson. But what did you make of War of the Robots?
So I really liked this. I mean, this show is just great. I think Lost in Space is always fun. It's just like one of those like classic little shows where it's very wholesome and it's just cute. There's no like life or death, well, not usually, there's no like big scary danger. It's like fun, like robot issues, you know. It's like a slap fight between robots in this one, but I think that they're always just so interesting. I think that this was one of my favorite episodes that we've seen. I liked how there was the good robot, the bad robot, and I like that robots just aren't all the same in this universe, that they're a bit different. I thought that was nice to see. I want to know more about the lore behind them in this universe. But no, I thought it was very cute. And I think seeing Will and the robot's friendship grow was just so sweet.
I mean, we see an awful lot of interesting lines, and this is part really of a trilogy of explorations we'll be doing in terms of artificial intelligence and indeed robots in general. But I think it's the first episode really towards the end of the first season, of course, the monochrome season, where we do have this classic confrontation between what for many people, of course, would have been their version of Robbie the Robot from, of course, Forbidden Planet, which we also looked at when Robbie was obviously created by the Krell superintelligence, as echoed by Professor Mobius. Jared Palmer, your thoughts on this one? Again, as Jessica said, a fun episode, and one perhaps not to be taken too seriously, even if you do know what Space Salad is.
Well, I think I have to agree with Jessica. I really did enjoy the episode. I'm not as familiar with this series as I am the movie that came out in the 90s, but this episode is pretty much very intriguing, going into the, like, the robotics and, like, are all robots good and evil? And I really did like the dynamic that was put in between Will and, of course, the good robot, which I thought was hilarious at the amount of times, like, they would just think and sort of communicate with each other. And I think I just really liked the dynamic that was played out in it, and, like, the ultimate, like, payback off against Smith, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, we see a large proportion, obviously, of Zachary Smith, played by Jonathan Harris, with his particular line, etc. Really from the opening sequence, where, of course, he's failing to even catch any fish. And we're thinking that that's problematic from that point of view. But you do have, again, a narrative which works our way through through the whole process. We've heard some of the clips from the episode, and we'll continue to do that. But the robot, his line, "I am not fooled by your silence. You are aware. You have been aware ever since your fusion unit was refined 2 days ago. You cannot hide from me like you do others. Do you wish to speak? Very well. Then I will do what I must." Just before he reaches for the hammer, of course. Which, again, I would have thought it was unusual, and in one of those areas where you think, so if you're going to destroy a robot, I suppose you could use a hammer, but clearly that's not the way that the robot comes to an end in the end. Jessica, I mean, is this a bit like sweet pea, tea, or indeed boiled potatoes when it comes to fish with hot biscuits and space salad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we can definitely incorporate space salad in. I don't know what that is, but hopefully it's good. We can, you know, make that some of the new cuisine. I think, you know, why not have it start now? And then we can just, once we get into space, once we get into exploring the galaxy, we'll already have it. We'll have it.
Yeah. So in terms of the way that the story is driven along, I mean, obviously we have two key female characters, Maureen Robinson, of course, and Judy Robinson, from that point of view. It's fair to say, apart from obviously making the food, and of course having the trauma when Smith is demonstrating how superior the robotoid is, of having the anniversary watch gift actually smashed to a pulp and then magically restored by the robot. You know, a line that effectively, you know, robots can do anything. Did you feel that those aspects work? And is it an episode which you need to really sort of embrace your inner child to really appreciate?
Yeah, I think that this, like, the show is so much centered around the family unit, plus Dr. Smith. He's just there, but he's part of it, you know? It's like, it's built so much around connections, because they're kind of all they have on the planet. So I think showing fracturing just a little bit when, you know, it was so sad seeing the robot getting excluded and kind of with this imposter robot. Sad to see that, because it's such a strong unit that they have together, and they're helping each other survive, not physically, but also emotionally. They're the company that they have in this new place, giving each other hope. So I think that a lot of the aspects of worked pretty well, and I think it conveyed that theme a lot. And I think that it made it stronger at the end when they kind of asked the robot to come back and join them after he stood up to the evil robot for them and saved the day.
I mean, Jared, that, in a sense, moral of the story that we actually have as the family develops. And this was clearly an attempt by Owen Allen to do a science fiction version of Swiss Family Robinson. It has all of the kind of lines of Swiss Family Robinson, and indeed even the name is maintained for that, except it's obviously not so much lost on a desert island as actually lost in space. Do you feel that kind of adds to the whole system and this family unit, and, as Jessica's just said, the exclusion in which the robot is very much you know, see the second best, even though he actually comes back with some vegetables from a pail full of vegetables, a bucket full of vegetables from the garden. I mean, how could you possibly how could you resist, you know, friendly robot coming back with a bucket full of vegetables from the garden just to actually work through that? I mean, you know, Jared, your thoughts, please.
Well, I don't know what to say about the vegetables in the garden, but I would say that I feel as if it enhances the sort of the environment and the atmosphere around it, instead of being set in space rather, or like on planets rather than just on the desert. I mean, I'm not as familiar with the Lost in Space lore as I am familiar with the show, because I think the majority of the lore that I know comes from the film. But I think it does enhance the sort of the excitement, and also the understanding that they're all in this together, like this event is happening to them as a family, as well as also having to sort of deal with it, like what they would do in certain situations, like robots taking over, them like being attacked, or them having to discover new planets. I think it's a really interesting concept, and I think it's something that I think science fiction does at its best, is exploring and sort of like going into like new worlds, and like pretty much like Star Trek, to go where no one has gone before.
Maureen Robinson has one line which I think is quite significant. It's, "I know that robots don't have any feelings, but it's almost as though when he found out that we don't need him anymore, he left us, almost to destroy himself deliberately." It's interesting that she is actually using the male pronoun he to describe the robot, as opposed to it, which maybe actually indicates that actually, despite the fact that, you know, over the last 20 or so episodes that we've seen the robot gradually evolve from an environmental robot that effectively was misprogrammed by Zachary Smith to effectively destroy the Jupiter 2 mission, the robot is seen as something that is developing. And we see, of course, that line where he doesn't feel, but yet he does feel. He clearly, the music cues tell us the robot is sad, and even the confrontation between the robotoid and the robot, where the robotoid leads with, "It is time we talked. You know, proceed. Now that I have full operational capabilities, your services will no longer be required." It's an old story. Do you feel as though it's one of those areas where the writers are kind of transferring human characteristics onto robots so we can empathize with them, Jessica?
I think that that's definitely part of it. I think that having robots that not only resemble humans with how they walk and move and talk, I think is kind of ascribing that humanity to them. But I think also, I think it makes it even a bit more, it makes him feel almost more humanized, in that they still keep his robot tendencies. He's very clearly a robot. They've not made him into kind of like an android that's so similar to humans. I'm thinking of like something kind of like some of the 80s sci-fi, where they're kind of showing that there's really no difference between AI and humans. I think that this shows that there is a difference between robots and humans, but it doesn't make him somehow less worth the less able within the family. I think that they kind of see him as a family member going throughout the episodes that I've seen so far, and I think that him still being a robot and kind of being like taking everything a bit more seriously, and not being quite as like emotional as humans are, and things like that, having a very clearly robot body, I think that that actually makes it more impactful that they integrate him into their family and make him kind of a Robinson. I think that that makes it more interesting in a way.
Could it be seen as a way of arguing for inclusivity, Jared, that actually what we have here is an early attempt at inclusivity, to say that just because you happen to be different, and there is a sequence where the robot actually, in conversation with Will Robinson, leads with, "You forget that a robot has no heart. I'm only wires and cold metal parts." That notion of sentience, that notion of acceptance, is something which is being developed here, or is that too simplistic a reading?
I definitely think that there is something into it between giving the robot sort of human characteristics. And I think there's definitely some like elements of like our machines purely like wires and electric like buzzers and stuff like that. Is there also more of like a, maybe a consciousness or a mind there that has some sort of like soul, some sort of like I would say some sort of technical awareness of about what's going on? And I think a lot of the times that I've watched a lot of the science fiction films, such as like Terminator and as well as Doctor, it sort of explored the idea: do humans and robots, are they not compatible? Or like, do robots only exist as like soulless beings? Are they meant to be used or abused? And I think for this, it just goes in to show that despite the robot sort of differences between the characters of the Robertson family, they still embrace him as one of their own. And I think they do it a lot better than they do towards Smith, as I believe they still have a slight antagonism towards him, despite in this series being a bit more sort of like him helping out a bit more and a bit less reluctant. But I think his relationship with Will has definitely solidified that to me, that there is something more than just like a machine there.
When this was filmed, of course, it was some 44 years after Carol Čapek had actually coined the term robot with Rossum's Universal Robots, although technically it was his brother Joseph Čapek who effectively came up with the term robot, which means in the Czech language serf, as in a peasant worker, as in soul from that point of view. So, I mean, here we are over 100 years since Rossum's Universal Robots actually were developed. Jessica, do you feel as though we're still unsure? Because the other ingredients to this, of course, is that notion of self-awareness and artificial intelligence that we see the robotoid manifesting, even though ultimately the robotoid himself or itself is answerable to an alien creature that looks a little bit like a hound dog, but nevertheless is still there. And again, I had a wry smile where John Robinson effectively identifies what looks to me like just a mirror as being an advanced telecommunications visual device, which shows an interesting range of deductive logic, if nothing else. But your thoughts, Jessica, in terms of, I say, the current feeling with respect to robots. I mean, would you have the B9 robot as an assistant to yourself, or do you say, no, go away, I'll take a robotoid. It's much more efficient.
I don't know. Robotoids seemed a little unstable, but I think I mean, humans, we just have such a fascination with creation and making things and kind of lives that exist outside of humans. I think that we're always super fascinated with maybe it's the uncanny, but that's kind of like something's a little bit off about AI and androids that resemble us so much, but not quite. But I think that with robot, there's also like the trend from the 60s of the very wholesome, very sweet robot, like in the Jetsons, how they had the little robot maid, where it seems like kind of ethical servants in a way, if the like they're not actually conscious in a way, but they are. I don't know. There's like ethical quandaries with AI, which I think is something that quite a lot of books focusing around robots have kind of been delving into more. But I think with this one, he's so wholesome and he's just so sweet, and you can't help but love this robot so much. I think he's absolutely adorable. Just like even the phrases, like when he's being violent with the hammer to destroy the bad robot, but he's just saying like I destroy, and it's like kind of cute in a way that he just phrases it so different than any human might. So I think there's kind of something adorable about how they resemble humans to us.
He even wanted to disconnect the fusion wires, which clearly would have actually put paid to the robotoid's evil nature. In fact, it's that phrase, I will disconnect the fusion wires, which forces the robotoid to reveal that he was actually more conscious than perhaps he was pretending to be in terms of his its role and its line from that perspective. So, Jared, in an era where clearly we're all used to our Siris or our Alexas, or indeed other areas connecting with us, do you feel as though, again, this is something that carries any warning with us, or is it a case of, do as long as the robots are made completely different from us, they'll find that they'll add to our human experience?
There's a definitely interesting debate, which I think that would take quite a long time, but to shorten it down a bit, I think you can have technology be used for the benefits of humankind as well as the benefit of sort of like artificial creation. But there's also comes the ability to say, like, when do we throw aside our morals and sort of abuse that, right? And I think for me, the one thing that goes into it is the Star Trek episode with Data when Picard's fighting against him in court. Like, what happens if we strip him down and use him to build his own race? Do we end up enslaving that race due to us seeing him more as a machine rather than as an individual? And I think there, that sort of relates to the fact the more that we need to be sort of conscious about what we're doing morally, but also make sure that we're, I wouldn't say in control, but we're sort of observing how we can benefit them as well as benefit us, because I think there is a balance there.
The Measure of a Man, of course, an episode I'm sure which we will be looking at in the not too distant future, as far as Resident Rewind is actually concerned. Okay, let's move on to characters and let's explore that. I mean, one of the criticisms, I suppose, of much of Irwin Allen's science fiction driven material, and this may well apply to next week's aspect when we're looking at Land of the Giants. An episode entitled The Mechanical Man, but it does relate to the fact that you have some very stereotypical characters here. But do they actually connect, or will it be a case of they're all going to be taken away simply by the presence of the robot and maybe even the robotoid? Jessica, who's your particular favorite character, and do you have any honorable mentions that you'd like to throw into this one, even possibly for Zachary Smith?
I mean, Zachary Smith has been my answer for my favorite character for every episode we've watched. I find him so entertaining, and hilarious. He's such a like a mess of a villain, and I think that's great. Like he's not like the very cunning little sneaky suave villain that a lot of the shows from this time period had. He's just bumbling and he doesn't know what he's really doing, and I think it's very entertaining that his schemes kind of always backfire in a very funny, convoluted way. But actually in this episode, it was the robot. I feel like he just I mean, he was the starring character. He just was so I just felt so bad for him. I wanted to give a robot a hug when he was being excluded. You know, I just think that they did a very good job of making him a very sympathetic character. He went from I mean, we're seeing such an arc with him, you know. He went from being this kind of assassin, this robot assassin, to being a best friend for Will, helping with farming. It's just so I think he's absolutely adorable. So definitely the robot.
Well, I'm sure that the two characters who have obviously portrayed the robot, Bob May in the robot and the voice of the robot, of course, Dick Tufeld will be delighted with respect to that, as opposed to Eldon Hansen and Ollie O'Toole, who portrays the robotoid from that perspective. Well, indeed, arguably even Robbie the robot from that point of view. And what about yourself, Jared? Which character gets your vote? I mean, are you going to throw something completely out of the routine and actually say, well, clearly it was Penny Robinson, because it's going to be an exciting adventure next week, where we actually see what's happening with respect to Lost in Space with her adventure.
Yeah, I did think, find that a bit weird at the, near the end of it that they were doing that second part of the episode. But then I think you said that the actress was unavailable. In terms of the characters, I believe I would agree with Jessica, actually. I think it was the robot for me. It was like him being a bit more, a lot more human, a little bit more left out. And I did feel sorry for him. At the same time, I also felt like the family could have been a bit more like questioning about should we be using this unknown other robot as well as we've used this one before, and that we have a bit more of a trust system. So I think they were just a bit too easy to discard him there, which I felt a lot more worse for him, because like you've just been loyal to them and they've just thrown you away as like.
And yet a very human aspect that actually we like shiny new toys, and the in an era where maybe we should be upcycling more and caring and giving longevity to our possessions and devices, etc. It's a case of, oh, new shiny toy, throw the old one away, move on. Maybe there's a message there that needs to be perhaps looked at and alluded to. Okay, we won't go for marks yet, because Jared, I know you weren't able to join us last week for the Truman Show. But you had actually commented that The Truman Show was one of the films that in your time in the United States had actually been covered in your location from that point of view. And I was just interested, again, just looking back briefly in terms of that. I mean, I think we all sort of enjoyed it from that perspective, what you made of, or what French Woods, I should say, which was the location you were actually based in, made of The Truman Show.
I think from the response of the campers, they quite enjoyed it. I think some of them were a bit, I would say they weren't confused, but they were a bit sort of like unsure about how we should treat the sort of like way that Truman was shown in the film, as well as also the way that Christoph has basically imprisoned him in his own like dome for entertainment purposes. And I think it goes more into sort of the reality of our world. Are we living in a dome, and sort of like the outside world of psychology, like, are we basically, is this the real world, is this reality? And I think they did enjoy it. They definitely did enjoy Jim Carrey, and I think he really portrayed it quite well. And I think Ed Helms also portrayed it quite well as the villain, because I think the one thing I did like about him was that, like, he just had a justification for everything he did, despite how wicked it was and cruel.
He was a director, and let's face it, we could always be living in the planet of Lost in Space with the Jupiter 2 and the Robinson family, which is another version of reality. As Christoph actually said, and we cited this last week, we accept the reality with which we're presented, which, again, from the robot's point of view, can have good moments and can have more challenging moments. Jessica, what's your score then for this particular episode of Lost in Space? What are you going to settle on?
I'm thinking maybe an 8, but no, I'm going to give it a 9, because I really do like the themes of the family in this, and kind of the question of where a robot stands in all of this. I like that there's the duality of the robots, and I think that it was just a very sweet episode. It had a good ending, happy ending, not for the robotoid, but, you know, but still a happy ending for everyone else. And it ended up being very wholesome. So I'm sorry this family is still stuck out in space, but it makes for some good episodes.
84 episodes, they've never got home. Even the Netflix series, they've never got home. It's just a part and parcel of the whole system that they're actually in, perhaps. However, that's their destiny, and maybe we all are, to a certain extent, lost in space as the world continues to spin round in this particular area of the solar system. Interesting insofar as the title, War of the Robots, maybe I was expecting a little bit more in terms of special effects. Maybe I was expecting more than just quite literally a smokescreen, which was suddenly developed by the exhaust vent from the friendly robot, the Robinson family robot. And of course, a small electric charge to effectively take out the system. But having said that, yeah, I can see where you're going from. I'm possibly going to be sticking with an 8. Jared, what's your score?
I would say I'd give it an 8. I think I really did like how it set up the episode. I presume the intro was the previous one from the previous episode, the ending there. So I kind of found that interesting that they lent into that and like sort of like allowed the viewer to catch up on where things have gone since like the last episode if they missed out on it. And also I just really like sort of like the dynamic between sort of the family and also like the way they interacted with each other. So for this one, I think I'll give it an 8 as well. It had a very good plot, good setup, and good execution, and I'm looking forward to watching the next episode if I get a chance to be able to watch that one.
Well, there are 84 in the original 3 seasons. We may certainly in subsequent Residence Rewinds be looking at some of the colour episodes, because it's so many people who actually argued, including our very own Robin Pierce, that the black and white or monochrome series or series one was superior to the more camp based shows that followed it. Although, to be fair, one of the reasons they changed that was because they were losing out in the ratings to the Adam West Batman at the time. So they decided to obviously hype up the camp factor as far as Lost in Space was concerned. So it's been a small but nevertheless perfectly formed Residence Rewind. Congratulations once again, Jared, on your graduation recently, and of course managing to survive your time. Where exactly is French Woods, by the way? I have no idea whereabouts that is in America.
So it's in a city called Hancock, which is just outside of New York City, as in like the central Manhattan. It's still in the state. I think it's quite far south, but it's not too far outside the city. It's like a 3-hour drive to New York, sort of like Manhattan itself, but it is further out the state than it is in. And it's in I would say a forested area of Hancock. So it's a bit out of the town itself, and it's in this big sort of place where the camp is based and where all the activities and stuff take place. And I think next to the camp is also, there's some neighbors there who I think they live there themselves, but I never really saw anything. All I was told is that occasionally they might
there were
get
probably,
a bit angry.
There were probably some robots there as well, and possibly some space salad. Maybe it wasn't French Woods at all. Maybe it was just an area of alien abduction. Anyway, next week on Residence Rewind, we will, as mentioned earlier, be going to another group of humans who are also lost, this time lost in a planet full of giants. And not only planet of giants, but also a planet where they encounter a mechanical man. Yes, we keep the artificial intelligence going with the little people, Alexander Fitzhugh, Steve Burton, and of course, I will be amazed if Jessica Burtis doesn't actually vote for Chipper, the cute dog, as being her favourite character next week, especially when, spoiler alert, he gets caught in quicksand. That's to come as far as Residence Rewind is actually concerned. Next week, Land of the Giants, The Mechanical Man. For now, though, to Jared Palmer and to Jessica Burtis, huge thanks. And keep on resonating.
Okay, let's try putting a little more energy in his power packs. Turn on the energizer. What's wrong with you today? Your audio unit gone bad? I mean, I have to ask you everything 3 times before you obey.
I compute you well.
Then what's wrong?
This project is extremely dangerous.
Now look, I'm not gonna go through that again. I'm gonna get this robot fixed, and that's all there is to it.
Correction. Not robot, robotoid.
Now look, who cares what it's called? All I wanna do is get it working.
Our robot is a machine which performs as programmed. Our robotoid is a machine which goes beyond programming. It has a free choice. Good, bad, wrong, right, slow, fast, hot, cold, loud.
All right, just forget it. Forget it.
Abandon this project.
You know, I know what's wrong with you. You're jealous. That's all, jealous.
Jealousy, a human emotion. I am a machine.
Then what's wrong with you?
I do not know.
You need a good mechanical tune-up. When I'm finished with him, it'll be your turn.
As you wish. I will turn on the energizer now. I am not jealous. It is a human emotion. I am not jealous. It is a human emotion. I am not jealous. It is a human emotion.
How's the work on the robotoid coming along, Will?
I've repaired and replaced all defective parts, but I must have done something wrong. He won't activate.
Well, it looks to me like you've bitten off a little more than you can chew.
Frankly, I think you're wasting your time. Even if you do get the robot to operate, we don't need him. We already have one.
Well, speaking of our robot, where is he?
Will, didn't you bring him back with you?
Sure, Mom. He's right outside.
No, he isn't. Well, that's strange. I saw him just a few moments ago.
He sure has been acting peculiar lately.
Well, maybe we better go look for him.
I think I know where he is.
Where?
With the robotoid. Don't ask me why, but it's just a feeling I have.
How about that? Now we have a runaway robot on our hands. I'll get Smith.
Yeah, you want to finish, Donnie?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
It must be done. It must be done.
No sign of him.
Where are you? Where are you, you miserable mass of metal?
I am not fooled by your silence. You are aware. You have been aware ever since your fusion unit was refined 2 days ago. You cannot hide from me like you do others. Do you wish to speak? Very well. Then I will do what I must. I destroy.
Stop! Stop! I command you, stop! You monster, you unspeakable insult, how dare you?
Don't you tune me out, you metallic murderer. I want an explanation, do you hear? I demand an explanation immediately.
I decline to answer under the grounds that it would.
You'll tell me what's been going on here, or I'll remove your power pack for a month.
Thank you. to do?
Everything.
Okay. Now the most important thing is to keep talking and get as close as possible.
I compute.
We're about as ready as we'll ever be. Let's go.
So, you have returned, Mr. Robinson.
I didn't want to. I told him what had happened and he forced me to come back.
Forced you?
I owe no loyalty to these Earth people. They are not of my own kind. We are alike. We must work together.
Join the others, Mr. Robinson.
Will, what are you trying to do?
I can't tell you now, but just hope it works.
Although you are superior, we are both machines. I ask only to serve you.
Your proposal is very interesting, but come no closer. I have computed you, and your memory banks do not scan.
We shall be friends. I will prove myself.
Stop where you are. This is a warning. For the last time, stop.
There is no reason for alarm. As you have said, I am only a primitive, obsolete machine.
I will destroy you.
I can't see a thing. I don't see our robot.
He's probably on the ground.
No, he isn't. I see him.
You have destroyed me.
He did it! I knew he could!
Now, Will, was that your idea?
The robot thought it up.
And I thought the robotoid was superior. Come on.
The plan was successful.
You mean your plan?
I am only the end result of those who programmed me.
Well, that may be true, but there's something more, too. Something that doesn't make sense. You're more than a machine.
You're our friend.
My computers are deeply affected.
We'd like you to come back to us.
I have returned.
Thank you.
I'm not going to be able to do that.